I would remind you, the Apostle John is the last living apostle. He is the penman God is going to use to finish off God's word. And it is not to be added to or subtracted from. And being the last living apostle, he writes the Gospel of John. And he sums up, looking out way back into Moses and everybody else, all of history, and all of history, biblical history, sacred, secular history. And as you look back, God has sought to communicate very effectively for those that have an ear to hear. And in the process, God dealing with the heart and the head, he presents God, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, King, servant, the Son of Man. When you come to the Gospel of John, Isaiah chapter 40, behold your God. When you read John 21 chapters, God is going to help us understand the wonderful person of God, as demonstrated and brought in front of us by the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so here we are in John, and as we've been studying, and picking up, to verse 29 a little bit. And remember verse 28, what then they said, then said they unto him, this is the crowd. Remember, the crowd has just come back, followed him all the way to Capernaum, have followed him in order that they might get fed again, they might get involved with the one who they would make king on their terms, to feed them and to overcome Herod and the Roman control. And they were looking wrongly for him, to have some more miracles done. And therefore, verse 26, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? In other words, we want to be able to do like you do. We want to be able to produce. We want to be able to demonstrate this power that you have. Thus, verse 29, the answer. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work, singular. Remember, verse 28 is in the plural. What can we do to work the works? Verse 29, the Lord answers, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. You need to believe. You want to do the work of God? You've got to believe, 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 believe. That's all. Well, what else is there? No, just believe. Believe that God is God. He is exactly who he said he is. Now, therefore, their response, verse 30. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou? Remember, they just saw a miracle, five loaves and two tiny fishes from a boy's lunch, and he fed over 15,000 people. And they said therefore unto him, what sign, verse 30, showest thou them then, that we may see? We want to see something. We want to see with our eyes, that we may see. And when we see, then we'll consider believing. See and believe. What dost thou work? What are you going to do? What ought you going to do? What will you do for us, to say that in a little simpler way? What will you do for us to see? Do something for us to see. Here we are. We've come all the way over across the part of the Sea of Galilee. We've followed you. Show us something to see. All right? Now, that's what they want to do. And verse 31, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now, here's the Lord Jesus Christ, who took the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Each of the 12 disciples had their baskets they carried, they're using to say their knapsack, their pocketbook, and they carried it, and they put them out, and God broke the 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and all 12 baskets were full, and all 12 baskets, the disciples went out, and the people were all sitting in groups of 100, 50 and 100, and they went and they fed them. So everyone that reached in the basket pulled out as much as they wanted, and the basket remained full as it went from over 15,000 people. When it was all done, they brought it back, and the baskets were still full for the disciples. Now, what's the difference? Because you did that. We're up here on the hillside, and so many of us, we knew you did something down there. We obviously saw the basket pass us, and we took out of it what we want, and noticed when it went to the next one, it was full again. We noticed that. But you were there, down there at the foot of this hill, and we're up all on the slope, and you did that. Now, you did that. We want to see something more awesome to prove who you are. Therefore, verse 31 again, our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now, how did they get manna? God sent it down from the sky. He sent it from the sky. There was no one. Moses didn't do anything. God just showered over 2.5 million people and everyone else with manna. That's what he did. So now, show us that. You took a boy's lunch. Moses didn't do anything. Are you greater than Moses? Show us. Show us that you are more powerful than Moses. And the Lord corrects their thinking again. Verse 32. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, most assuredly, amen, amen, it would be the word. Most assuredly, I say unto you, Moses gave you N-O-T, not that bread from heaven. That never came from Moses. That came from God, not Moses. But my Father giveth you, is giving you right now, not past. My Father is going to hand you right now, what? Verse 32. But my Father giveth you the true, real, genuine, remember true, the same all the way through. You have a pencil. Remember the illustration, it's easy. The word true, real. What you see in the end is a piece of lead. And if you follow and took and sharpened and moved all of this wood off of this or whatever, you would find that that piece of lead goes all the way through. True. Real. Genuine. What you see is what it is. What you see, here I am, and follow it through, you're going to end up with God. Now, my Father is giving you right now, present tense, this bread from heaven. My Father is giving it. And so they want to see, so here and now, God is giving them this real bread. And in verse 33, for the bread of God is he. Remember, Father's giving real bread. The bread of God, bread from God, the Father, is he, a person. which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. So God gave bread. The bread that he has given is none other than the person standing in front of them, the Lord Jesus Christ, who just fed 15,000 people. And this bread, verse 33, this bread cometh down and giveth life unto the whole world. Anyone, anywhere could have this bread and have life. Wonderful, wonderful life. Anyone, anywhere could have life. Wow. All right? And they're standing there. Here's this big crowd. And they're ready. They're ready. Their hands are out. They said, we're ready. Here we are. Put it out. Hand it out to us in a most miraculous way, like Moses. No, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to give it to them based on the person and work of who he is, and he is the bread. So he who comes down, verse, he who came down, and remember, as we shared last time, the one that came, look at verse 38. For I came down from, there's your verb, I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. I came down. Down. And you're going to read it all the way. Where did you come from? Heaven. Where did you come from? God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Thus, he came down. And he's going to give life to the whole world. Verse 34. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore, the word evermore, always give us this bread. Here we are, we're ready to receive this bread like manna from heaven. Like manna from heaven. We're ready. Here's our hands out. We're ready. We'll let it fall into our hands. Make it happen. Make it happen to us. Here we are, we're ready. Fill our hands with this bread that gives us eternal life. Now, having said that, now in order to get their mood and their problem, I have to go back again to remind you and myself the background to what they're using Moses. It was a marvelous thing what God did to feed all those people 40 years. I got to tell you, it was a miracle. Every day it was a miracle. Now, over if you would to Exodus chapter 16. Exodus in chapter 16. And you would recall, let me give a little context, background, reading verse 1. 16, Exodus, verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departure out of the land of Egypt. They just got out, coming, they're moving. Verse 2. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. They muttered, they growled, they grumbled. What are they doing? Why are they doing that against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness? And the children of Israel, verse 3, said, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Hunger. You're going to get us out here and cause us to die. We're going to starve to death out here. That's what we're going to do. Now, that's their thinking. And verse 4, God, now they're wrong as can be. of what they had to learn in the Gospel of John. They had to learn. We have to learn. What is it we have to learn? Thus, chapter 16, verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove, put them to the test, put them on trial, to see whether they will walk in my law or not. I want to see if they're going to pay attention to who I am and what I'm able to do. That's what I'm going to do. So now, in the light of that, in verse 7, and in the morning when you saw the glory of the Lord, and when in the morning, then you shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings. That's what's triggering this. It isn't a thank you, God. In fact, without, in case I get ahead of myself, there is no thank you. For 40 years, every day, you fed them miraculously. For 40 years, no thank you. No thank you. Now, in the light of that, to verse 8, Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. So they're murmuring and murmuring and murmuring and murmuring, and that's what they're doing. Now, and so, over, if you would, to verse 35. Now they're murmuring. And, verse 35, 16:35. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited, that's Palestine. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. And so they ate for 40 years, 40 long years, and they're murmuring. And just to show you, without staying any longer, chapter 17, verse 3, keep going, 17:3. And the people thirsted, they hungered and they thirst, therefore water. And the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? So you're going to starve us to death, and you're going to have us die of thirst. That's it. They just didn't quit. Just kept going and going and going. Psalm 78. A commentary, God's own commentary. And picking it up, if I may, verse 17. 78:17 Psalm. And they sinned yet more against him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. Murmur, murmur, murmur. And they tempted God, put God to the test in their heart by asking meat for their lust. God had given them everything. And when he gave them everything, it wasn't enough. So they asked for more and something else and something different, etc. Asking meat for their lust. Verse 19. Yea, they spake against God and they said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Is God able to take care of people in the land, in the desert, when no one's around? Is God care? Can God do it? No. That's what they were saying. Show us. That's what they wanted to see. Behold, he smote the rock that the waters gushed out. The streams overflowed. Can he give bread also? Can he do that? Can he give water and bread? Can he provide flesh for his people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God, nor trusted not in his salvation. They just weren't going to believe God. Remember in John 6, without going back there, what can we do to work the works of God? Believe. Believe. You want to see God work? Believe. Believe. Now, having said that little bit, in the light of that, and so 40 years went by, etc. Back over to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 6. John chapter 6. Now remember, they're murmuring, and I'm interested to see if they were able to pass on to each generation this kind of thinking. So now, way back here with Moses, we're going to go all the way down the corridor of time to here in John. In John, about 90, back in the day of our Lord Jesus. And picking up, please, in John chapter 6, if I can, in, verse 36. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. In other words, they weren't believing. God told them, I am the bread. I'm it. I'm going to give you eternal life. I'm the bread that you need to have. It's skipping down to verse 41. Then the Jews murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. So they're going to murmur, mumble, grumble, growl, complain. Because of dislike, because of discontent, they're murmuring. Murmuring. Now, so their unbelief left them empty-handed and empty-hearted. And in the process, they ended up, they said, give us this bread, but you know what? They didn't get it. And if you, without taking time to read in James 4, 3, ask, and you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss. Why? That you may consume it on your own lust. You don't want anything. Whatever you want to get, it's to consume it as you wish, when you wish, how you wish. It isn't anything about a relationship. It's about you being very self-centered. I, me, my. It's all about your world. That's no good. That's no good. That's no good at all. Now, in John chapter 6, you'll pick up that thought, verse 51. 6 and 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. I'm going to save the world. I'm going to be the Savior, only God, the only Savior. I'm going to tell you that. Now, and in verse 52, the Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And here he is standing there, and they're saying, we're ready, hand it over, have something drop out of heaven. And they're standing there. And they aren't interested in all. In paying attention to what he said, I am the bread of life. And thus in the process. And remember now, it's a relationship to God, and the relationship to God lasts forever. And the relationship to God lasts forever. Therefore, God is the living God. It is the life of God. So if I have a relationship to the living and only God forever, then the relationship never ends, and neither does my life. My life never ends either, because my relationship doesn't end. It never ends. Now, one other thing that we need to keep in mind, how can this man give us his flesh? Now, what do you need to keep in mind? Remember this physical life. You all need and have physical life. And what do you do to have physical life? You have to eat and drink. The only way you can have physical life is to eat and drink. You hunger. That makes you hunger. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't eat. You have hunger and you have thirst. And when you hunger and thirst, then you proceed to answer eating something or drinking something. And we do that. That's called, and we have, and thus we're creatures of the dust of the ground. We're made of dust. We are dust. We go back to dust. And thus, air, sun, moon, shine, food, water, we're just like the ground. Our life is physical life. We are sustained by the sun, the air, the water, food. Now, but you also have spiritual life. And spiritual life, soul, spirit, and that requires a relationship to God. In other words, you're more than when a person was to drop dead right now, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to call the drop dead company, 911, and they're going to come, and they're going to go and check. And what are they looking for? What are they going to look for? Death or life? They're going to look for life. And if they can't find life, they pronounce them dead. Lifeless. That's the body. The body doesn't need any more water or food. But the person inside, that's a whole other ball game. And eating and drinking isn't going to satisfy in here the person, the stomach, esophagus, all. You can put food and water and be satisfied, but you can't do that to the soul, to the person. Thus, spiritually, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. 1 Corinthians in chapter 8. And just reminding us, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 may pick up the thought in verse 4 directly. As concerning, therefore, the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that an idol is nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. So idols, we know, are just an exercise of religious activity. Sliding down, if I can, to verse 8, of verse 7. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge, verse 7. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat it as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. In other words, they don't realize an idol is nothing, and eating food to the eating, you're not going to have a problem eating food to the idol. That isn't an issue. Verse 8. But meat, food, commendeth us, N-O-T, not to God. For neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat not are we the worse. Food is nothing to do with you. It's something you put in your stomach, goes down your stomach, gives you health and physical life, etc. But that isn't you. How am I going to feed you? Over, if you would please, to Mark chapter 7. The Gospel of Mark chapter 7. And you'll pick up, if I may pick up, please, Mark 7. And picking up, please, in verse 15. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. In other words, there's no way that you're going to eat sin. You just don't do that. You just don't. That isn't going to be the problem. You can eat too much and get sick, and you could be a glutton, but that's an attitude, etc. Verse 15. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are they that defile the man. And verse 16, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now sliding down to verse 18. Because they wanted to know, what are you talking about, Lord? And he saith unto them, Are you so without understanding also? Do ye not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? You're eating food. Food is food, that's all. Because it entereth not, why won't it defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into the belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats. In other words, you get rid of the waste. Verse 20. And he said, That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceedeth evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. Verse 23, all these evil things come from within and defile the man. The problem is the heart problem. And that's why the wages of sin is death. And we separated. We don't have a relationship, God. We got to have a relationship. Not to carrots and water, pizza. No, we need to have a relationship to you. So now, having said that a little bit, keeping that in mind, back over to John chapter 6. In John chapter 6, picking up, please. Now, in the light, that little bit, I hope it gets you a little bit ready for verse 35 again. Jesus said unto them, remember, he said, I am he, I'm the one. You want bread from God? I am the bread from God. Verse 35, Jesus said unto them directly, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. I am the bread of life. He that is coming to me, you're going to come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You're going to come to me. And when you come to me, you will never. Now, in the Greek, that's a double negative. But a double negative in the Greek means super duper no. Nothing doing. Negative. A big no. Never. Never hunger. Never hunger. Never means never. Now, let's see how it works. We got to eat physically. God, what are you talking about? What are these people standing there need? What do they need to understand? I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. And he that is believing on me shall never, same strong negative, shall never thirst. So you're never going to be hungry and you're never going to be thirsty. Now, physically, we eat and drink and we do all that. But when it comes to that physical life, spiritual life is something else. And when I am the bread of life, and since I am the bread of life, when you come to me, I am sufficient. Or to say it simply, as we shared last time in Exodus 3 and 14. I am that I am. I am exactly who I am, always who I am. I'm never less than who I am. And I am to you all you need. I am to you all you need. Right now. And you will never hunger. And you will never thirst. Because I am who I am. Got that part? Now, in the light of that, dear friends, picking up, please. And the word hunger, remember, means to be hungry. To be in want, to desire ardently, to feel want, to long for something, and thus to be looking for it. And so now, and remember, thus you'll never hunger, you'll never, never, never have a problem of wanting, desiring. You'll be fully satisfied. You'll never have a problem. You'll never be hungry. You'll never be thirsty. The kind of life I give you does not require anything of this life at all. So now, over, please. Two places that will help us. One is over to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And picking up, if I can, in chapter 5, in the Beatitudes, remember Matthew 5, 6, and 7, if you want Christ to be king, this is how it's going to be. And blessed ones. And when you come to Matthew chapter 5, sliding down, if I can, for time's sake, to verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, and if they really want rightly to have it, they shall be filled. They shall be filled and full. And they'll never be hungry. And you'll never be thirsty. No. God, what were the people of Israel missing? Over to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. What were they missing? Remember, God fed them 40 years with manna, etc. And in Deuteronomy chapter 8, picking up, please, in verse 3, going directly there. Remember, God's dealing with Israel as they're going to go into the wilderness. Chapter 8, verse 3. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger, and led thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know that purpose, he might make thee know what? Why did you use manna? What was the whole point of the feeding? That man doth not, N-O-T, live by bread only, that's physical, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. Man lives by God's word. God's word. Wow. Hang on to that. Back over to John 6, the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Picking up, if I may, in verse 61. 6 and 61. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, makes alive. The flesh and blood, profits nothing. You can eat and drink, and you're going to die. And you eat, you got to eat again, drink again, and then you die. Verse 63, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Man, woman, boy or girl, the kind of life you need isn't from bread and water, it's from God. God gives that life. God said, I am that bread. I am that water. Over, if you would, in John chapter 6, verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. We believe you are who you are. Mm-hmm. Well, those disciples, they're on the right track. But the rest of the crowd, nope, they're missing out on the whole thing. I am God. What are you trying to say to them? I am being who I am to you. And you always, always need nothing. I am always who I am to you. I can be no other than who I am. I am life. And if you have me, you have life. I am all that you need. All that you need. All that you need. And thus in the process, you would remember as you come to the, you don't have to turn there, in Revelation chapter 3, 17, the church in Laodicea. Church history is unfolded, among other things. And in church history, Revelation 3:17, the age, this is our day right now, Laodicea. And you know they have this little word. We are very rich, and we don't need anything. That's the church. And God says, without me, you can do nothing. You'll never need. Never need. Do you know, as long as I have that kind of thinking, I'm never going to come to grips with God's saving grace that God, in and of himself and by himself, is all I need. And I never, 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 never for one moment will I ever, ever lack. God, will you ever be deficient? Will you ever stop? Will you ever fail? Will you ever be too busy? Never. I am who I am. Always who I am. The Hebrew verb. I am to I am. I am who I am to you. Simple as that. Do you believe that? You'll never hunger or thirst. But boy, no. How do you survive torture and concentration camps and all kinds of stuff? Hardship. Well, you're going to go and look to God. Over, if you would please, over in your Bible, over to Philippians. Philippians in chapter 4, I think. Philippians in chapter 4. And Paul is in prison. He's writing. And he tells, he's very sufficient in his captivity. And picking up, if I can, in chapter 4, Philippians, going directly, if I can, to verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want. I'm not wanting anything. Are you needing food, water? No. For I have learned at whatsoever state, that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content, sufficient, always sufficient, always enough. God, you're enough. When it seems like everything is all gone, you're enough. Well, how on earth did you learn that wonderful truth? Verse 12, I know both how to be abased, go down low. I know how to abound, go up high. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. God, where did you, Paul, you taught, was taught by God of that he was enough. And he had to go through the school to learn that, so that everything that made life so needful to us in one way or another from this material world we live in, all the things we need, fear, faults, and frustration, here we are. But, God, what did you do? In the midst of all of that, you teach what? That you're always sufficient, and you never need. You never need. And the only way you'll learn that you never need is to be in need. You have to be in need. You have to hurt. Hard things. That's how you learn. You would never know it otherwise. You go through it and you learn it. Verse 19. But my God shall supply. Here's your need again. End of verse 12, verse 19. But my God shall supply, A-L-L, all your need. On what basis? By what standard? According to his riches, in glory, not riches in the mint, U.S. mint, riches in glory. And where are these riches in glory? Thereby are in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, the Lord Jesus said, I am the bread of life. If you come to me, you will never hunger. If you believe me, you will never thirst. Do you understand that? Never. But I heard and I feel. That's how you're going to learn this truth. I am who I am. Always who I am. I can be no other than who I am. And I am to you all you need. You fill in the blank like we shared last time. You fill in the blank and you'll find I am to you, and then you fill it in. I am shepherd, savior, power, peace, joy. Fill it in. I am to you. All of that. Wow. Therefore, believe. What can we do to work the works of God? Believe. Must be said. No, that's all. These things are written that you might believe. The gospel is John. John is all about understanding that Jesus Christ is God. 21 chapters to realize he's God. Wow. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Help us, our God, to understand. Help us to begin to appreciate not getting supplies from this world, not having the means to get supplies from this world. But God, in your grace and mercy, you have provided for us, for the believing heart, all we need. Period. And will never, never, never lack. How could we possibly lack in the light of who you are? God, it's impossible. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for dying on the cross. Thank you for making it all possible. Thank you very, very much for such a relationship to you, eternal life, genuine, real, right kind of life, your life, God. Thank you very, very much. In Christ's name, amen. You might like to turn in your hymnal as we close, if you would, to